In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Condori and Murad. They're going to guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a healthcare power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you so that you can get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. In 1 hour, we're giving away tickets to see Kevin Hart when he comes to D.C., in September, he's going to be at DAR Constitution Hall at 5. You'll hear from Dan Quinn as he addresses the media on cutdown day. Washington forming its 53-man roster like the rest of the teams in the NFL are ahead of their 4 p.m. deadline. But right now, let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app and visit BetQL.com. We are joined by Austin Eckler, running back with the Commanders, who is lucky enough at this point in his career to not have to worry about staring at his phone all day long. But Austin, I am curious, as a veteran with pelts on the wall, you know, what today is like for you and just your perspective on so many of your teammates who have been working their butts off, who are having their dreams set to the side here, potentially on speed bumps, but it's a tough day around the league.
Yeah, it's a big day for multiple reasons. And I remember, man, what was it now? Eight years ago around this time, I actually got a call, but it was from our player director telling me that I need to go find an apartment. And that was a really special moment. I immediately called my mom right after. I remember she was crying, I was crying, because, you know, some of the work that we've been putting in had finally come to fruition, and we're looking forward to finally getting on the NFL team. But obviously, there's the flip side of that as well, where a lot of guys have been putting in, you know, that work as well, and it doesn't come yet. Their time isn't now, and it doesn't mean their time's never going to come, but it just might not be in that certain team or that certain moment. And so it's a time where, look, there's a lot of great stuff happening, but also a lot of movement, obviously, in the other direction as well.
Austin, can you go into what maybe you said to a teammate or two? Because I think that's very sage advice, right? It's easy to think about the here and now and get bad news and be very focused on that. But that big picture thing is probably really hard after the work you've just now kind of put in. Did you talk to any of the young guys who might be facing this today and maybe share some of that?
Yeah, you know, actually yesterday or 2 days ago before our game, we're just telling these young guys, just, you know, make sure that whatever you do, after this game, you feel like there's nothing else you could have done. You feel like you've exhausted every ounce of energy that you could absolutely exhaust. And no matter what, if you do that, guess what? You'll be able to live with yourself and know that you put everything on the line and it wasn't something that you didn't do that caused you to fail. It was you did everything. And I told them, like, look, I'm proud of you guys for the work you've been putting in. And I didn't tell them this, but in my mind, there's no telling how it's going to turn out, you know? So I just try to keep it as positive as I can and pushing those guys to make sure that they understand that this is an important moment, and then also that leave it all out there on the line.
Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny here on The Fan in year one in D.C. Joined the Commanders in part because you'd worked with Anthony Lynn in the past, so you kind of knew what to expect, I'd imagine, in the meeting room and on the practice field from this staff. But what are your early returns and thoughts on this group after now navigating a training camp and your first preseason with them?
Yeah, I definitely knew what to expect from Anthony Lynn, and he has been living up to that as well. Funny story, actually, my rookie year, he was my head coach, and he's a big running back guy. Like, that's where a lot of his knowledge is. He came sprinting across the field because my track on a trap play was off by about a half yard. And so that is how detailed this man is when it comes to the running back position. So for me as a competitor, I couldn't wait to get in that room because I love to be coached. I want to make sure my details are on point. I want to be held accountable. So that has been, you know, our room's dynamic, but then also getting to know Dan Quinn. And I've been saying this, but if I were ever to be a head coach, I would want to be like Dan Quinn. He understands that coaching processes, coaching brotherhood, coaching, you know, how to hold the standard. What the standard is the way that you get the results that you want. If you coach results, hey, we got to go win a Super Bowl, we got to win games, there's no substance to that. That doesn't mean anything. But if we're talking about how we should interact with each other, how we should practice together, what's an example of, hey, this was a bad rep by you, pull it up. This is a good rep by you, pull it up. Those are the things that create processes and a brotherhood within our culture that allows us to play and keep ourselves held to a standard where we can play at a high level. And then, you know, the results will hopefully come from what we want. So I really appreciate Dan Quinn and what he's about.
Austin Eckler with us here on Grant and Danny. And Austin, you mentioned you've been around for a minute, played for a few different head coaches now. How did this kind of camp preseason sort of compare and contrast to ones you've gone through previously?
Wow. I mean, this is going to sound like it's a big Dan Quinn hype session, but this man really understands the power of keeping the body healthy and making sure that recovery is integrated into the, not just what we have going on, but integrated into the schedule. We have mandatory hour recovery sessions within the schedule. I know in the past it's really been like, hey, get your recovery during lunch and stuff like that. And you have like a longer lunch, but we bring in specific people. You have people doing massages, dry needling every day during training camp. And so that was something that was really new to me and kind of showed me where Dan's mind is at when it comes to taking care of his team and understanding that a healthy team is a very effective and dangerous team on game day. So it has been an amazing camp, and I have been so blessed to be out here and looking forward to getting into regular season.
Austin Eckler, one of the veterans with the Commanders, one of their leaders who's been setting the tone this summer out in Ashburn, of course, led the NFL in touchdowns over a couple of year span in 21 and 22 with the Chargers, and we're thrilled to have him now in the nation's capital here on Grant and Danny with us on The Fan today. Specific to the Jaden Daniels hype going into training camp and really not knowing what to expect, I mean, you've been around some young QBs. You kind of went through this with Justin Herbert. Like, do you go about that now differently, having lived that experience once where you go up, you introduce yourself and you know, try to answer as many questions as possible, or do you let a young kid come to you, and what has that been like in kind of feeling Daniels out in that way?
Yeah, I think as the veteran and being around a lot of younger guys, you realize that coming into the NFL is actually really intimidating for a lot of people for different reasons. One of them being like, hey, you've been watching these guys or playing with them on Madden or seeing, you know, looking up to some of these guys, and now you're in the same room with them. So as an older person in the locker room, not saying they all looked up to me, but just that's kind of the sense, like, man, these guys have been in the league for a long time. They've earned their respect. So you kind of feel like, okay, like I still have to get my stripes and I have to earn my respect out there. And so as an older player, I definitely have been the one that, you know, I'm going to approach you. I'm going to introduce myself to you. I'm going to ask you questions. I'm going to come up to you after practice because that's the position I'm in. And I know it was the opposite when I had Philip Rivers. When he was a veteran, he would do that same stuff for us. And he would come up to us or want to get routes after practice to get on the same page. And now it's kind of the roles flipped now that I'm, you know, going into year eight, Jaden's coming into year one, and he'll get there as well. He's got a great mentor in Marcus Mariota in that room that's really been doing a good job. I'm super proud of him too, of how he's been, you know, showing the ways of what a veteran quarterback does, you know, during the off season, you know, in season, you know, leading the offense, the cadence, all this stuff. So Jaden's in good hands, and I'm looking forward to seeing him excel as well.
Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. How do you feel about now the structure? It seems like we're eventually going to 18 games and then two preseason games. But right now you got the three exhibition games. Most teams choose two to let guys like you play in and then sit you for the third, which you guys did games one and two on the field as a group of starters. And how does the joint practice fit into this now? Do you feel like you get more out of those? Like, could you get ready for a season as a running back, not taking on a whole lot of contact or being tackled without playing in the preseason? Are you at a position where you kind of need that at this point?
Well, first off, I just want to say we, the PA, have not agreed to anything. So this 18-game rumor stuff is a bunch of BS. Let's just get that out of the way. You know, I think this is a tactic, in my opinion, by the NFL side, trying to push this narrative of that's where we're going so that players start thinking about it. But we're smarter than that. Like, we know exactly what's going on, and we're definitely aware of what's going on with them, you know, potentially leaking 18 games, right, potentially, right? So here's the thing. For us,
well, hang on, before you move on to the other part of the question, I actually want to follow up on that. So do you not think it's headed in that direction? I mean, obviously you guys are going to have to agree, but you wouldn't bet on that at this point? It just seems obvious that they're going to keep
it's what they want.
I mean, shoot, the ownership, these guys want 20 games. They want 30 games. They want as many games as they can get. If they get 50 out of us, they get 50 out of us. And so what do we have to do? We got to make sure that we put ourselves in a position where we can protect ourselves as players, right? And we can actually make sure that if we are going to give up some of our time and work more, then there's got to be the proper compensation and the proper things that we feel is worth that extra gain and so on and so forth. So that's where I am. Yes, obviously they want more, but is it going to be worth it to us to give them more?
Now, I think that's well said. And then specific to the kind of the juxtaposition now of joint practice versus preseason game, I mean, the narrative has become, and I think coaches have pushed this even a little bit too. I don't know what your perspective is, but like the joint practices are as helpful and or maybe better than the preseason. The way it was explained to me by a lot of coaches over the years is they can kind of dictate situations, practice more things that they want to, get looks at guys, because you can't really do that in a game. You may not get a goal line or a short yardage or something like that. How do you feel as a player in that regard?
Look, for the last 4 years, I haven't actually played in a preseason game, and that includes the years that I led the league and, you know, touchdowns and had 1,600 all-purpose yards those years. So we did have joint practices during those times. So that definitely gave us – that was like our game reps. Like, hey, it still wasn't live, but it's as close to live as you're going to get. You're going to get someone in some other color, just not going to the ground or cutting or anything like that. So there's definitely a lot of value in those joint practices, which is why we do them. And there's not a ton of reps to go around when you have a 90-man roster to get a good evaluation on people. So you want to make sure you're maximizing the opportunities that you have. So I don't mind – the preseason games, I think they're actually super beneficial for multiple reasons. Get the stadiums ready, get coaches ready, especially new coaches coming in, so they know their process and all of that. So there's value in all of it, and it just depends on how we want to balance it. You know, obviously we used to have four. Now I'm thinking about four. It's like, dang, if we had a whole another week of preseason, that would be wild. so I could definitely see it going down to two at some point, but not in exchange for another game. I don't know. That's a whole different conversation.
Austin Eckler with us here on G&D. All right, Austin, give me a second. All right, while you mentioned this, while you were out in, just in L.A., minding your business, putting up 1,600 total yards and 20 touchdowns pretty much, I have long been a huge fan of yours. And what I've done is I've begged for an Austin Eckler-type running back here in town. And we got the best version of that, and it turns out it's actually Austin Eckler. Years past, what would happen is a guy with your skill set that's so good out of the backfield, great in pass pro, that could do all these things, it's, okay, it's third and long, let's trot that guy out there. I have been screaming at nobody, because I'm just a pudgy idiot, but I'm screaming at nobody, I need my super effective playmaker not just to be third down reserved. Are we getting early down Austin Eckler, and who do I have to talk to?
I mean, if you look at my past, you know, my past history, these past 4 years anyway, I've been on the field pretty much the entire time unless I take a drive off. So that was the dynamic in the past. Obviously, it's a new dynamic now coming in with, you know, Brian Robinson in the room as well. And he's a different type of back than I am. We're different types of bodies. But he's shown he can carry the load all three downs. So have I. And so for me, it's – and what's really great is I'm with Cliff Kingsbury, who, in my opinion, is putting us in perfect positions so that we can actually maximize our talent. And so I'm going to be on the field all over the place, and I don't think you'll have to worry about me being on the field when it's, you know, it's a crunch time, third down, things like that, because Cliff's been doing a good job making sure that, hey, we're putting our playmakers on the field so they can make plays and putting them in positions where they're best at. So, you know, the plays will come, my friend. The plays will absolutely come.
Thank you. It makes me feel better.
We're getting lots of tweets, Austin, and also comments from our YouTube chat with people with questions for you. Just want to bang through a couple of these real quick on Grant and Danny. A lot of people are asking you about fantasy. You're kind of the player synonymous with being okay with the idea that fantasy football exists and it doesn't seem to bother you. I don't want to say it's a part of the industry that you enjoy, but I'm seeing a lot of people who are asking you questions about fantasy. How did that come about? I mean, did you just always play fantasy football? And like most players where you kind of drop it when you start playing, you continued to?
No, so my love of fantasy came from what it does for the sport. Actually, most of my fans, I would say, have come because of fantasy.
Really?
And oh, yeah. The power of having you on someone's team that they don't even know. They might not even know that I was on the Chargers, but they're like, oh, we love this Austin Eckler guy. Who is he? Like, they know my name because I was on their fantasy team, and now they're watching the Chargers or watching me because I'm on their fantasy football team. So the fact that it's bringing new communities into the ecosystem of players that are on different teams is what I love about it. I love how it brings people together. I'm a community builder. That's what I do in my foundation and my businesses. I build communities. And that's one of the main reasons I love fantasy. And so it's introduced me to a lot of new people. You know, I do play. I have, you know, a charity league that I'm a part of as well. So I'm definitely in there, and I'm definitely rooting for guys on other teams, you know, unless we're playing them. and so it's a good time.
That's cool. So I have two mini fantasy questions then. The first would be, when you're in a league, do you have to, like, is there a rule that you get yourself? Like, what if someone drafts you? And then secondly, give us a sleeper Commanders player on offense who we should be considering in fantasy that might not be obvious.
Ooh, interesting. Well, I can't give too much away on the insider stuff because we haven't got to week one yet. So I wanted to get to week one before I start leaking stuff and get myself in trouble.
Okay, I like that.
So I'm not going to be doing that. But as far as me getting myself, I always am trying to get myself, and it's actually easy right now because, you know, people think I'm just, you know, in the trash can apparently from last year. But
ADP over 100, Austin. I think it's great value.
Yeah, so look, I'm getting – so there you go. If you need a sleeper, you know, people thought, oh, you know, Austin played on 1.5 ankles last year and he wasn't very good. He only got, you know, like 8 touchdowns and 1,000 yards. He's washed up. You know, and it's like, y'all need to chill out, man. Like, I was going through our team was, you know, going through some stuff, had some injuries lingering around, and now I'm back and healthy. So I'm getting myself all over the place, yeah, but I'm always trying to get myself.
We want to ask you about experience. An app that you've got, it's a fan engagement platform. You mentioned you were working on when we had you on several months ago, and I think you made a lot of progress on it now. 85 active NFL players are going to participate. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we have 94 professional football players on there right now, and actually just brought on our first school. But what's really cool, we just launched a new interaction called Fan Mail, which allows you to send in an item to get signed by that player that's offering it. And so right now you can only get it from any of the Washington players. And so that's the biggest announcement that we've had lately. So if you want to get your Austin Eckler jersey signed or a card signed by me or Jonathan Allen or Marcus Mariota, Luke McCaffrey, all these other guys that are on there, you can go and check it out. And it's actually called Experience, but spelled E-K-S-P-E-R-I-E-N-C-E. So X. Like my last name, Experience. So really excited about it and loving what we've been doing so far. And the engagements have been great with the fans in the area. It's really a methodology for us to open ourselves up and give you more of a fan experience than just being in the stands.
Last one for me, Austin. As you guys get ready to, you know, as this roster gets finalized, you start playing games here next weekend. What's the biggest key for you guys to get off to a fast start, do you think?
But also a fat start.
A fat start. Like, you want to get off to a fat start?
We want you guys to be lethargic and not skinny.
Yeah, go to eat fast food.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, for us, man, we have a lot of moving parts and new players on this team and players that have had a ton of success in the past as well. And when you bring a lot of people together, it comes down to how well you gelled, which comes down to one thing, the details. Like, how detailed can we be in the fundamentals and getting lined up and operating? Because if we do that, we're going to be a pretty good offense. It's going to be hard to stop us. But if we're a little, you know, lackadaisical in the communication, it's not where it needs to be, you know, it's going to be tough for us. So that's the NFL. But especially when you have new teams, new coaches, rookie quarterback, it's especially important. And so what do you think I'm going to be, you know, preaching the next couple weeks is detail, 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 detail until I'm blue in the face, because that's what it's got to be. And that's what's going to help us win games.
Austin, you got married this off season, obviously right in time to get back to work. I don't know if you've even had time, you and Melanie, to kind of experience what there is to offer in D.C. yet or find restaurants you like. I mean, has it been all work and things will slow down a little bit in season in terms of some nights off? Or have you even seen the new community?
So my wife would tell me that and tell you guys that I am a workaholic and I am always trying to build. Like, I am a builder at heart. I'm an entrepreneur, and football happens to be, you know, the thing you guys know me for. But as you see, even with experience, I'm out building apps, I'm building foundations, we're building, you know, communities online. And so that's what I do for my fun free time. But yeah, every once in a while, make sure we get out to a date night and we'll check out DC. So we've been out around the town a little bit, meeting some new people. I'm a big networker. So there's fun in the things that we like to do, but it also sometimes looks like work to other people. So that's what we do.
I like it.
Love it.
You're always making moves. Austin, we appreciate it. We'll be pulling for you to get off to the quick start this year. And you heard it from Austin Eckler. Don't sleep. Grab him in those fantasy drafts. Thanks,
yeah,
man.
Good luck to you, buddy.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
All right, you got it. There's Austin Eckler on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. He's always got something going on.
Just one of those, a little bit too perfect. You know what I mean? You just can't believe it's like, in my spare time, I start companies, right? In my spare time, I start foundations. Like, yeah, me too, as I sit down to play video games.
Incredible.
Or like watch a show. Just better than me.
Josh Harris spoke to the media over the weekend. What was the biggest news item that came out of that Q&A? What was the biggest development of all of the answers he provided? I want to get into that next. We'll also get you the latest on Cutdown Day, another name trickling out, having been released by Washington. We'll tell you who next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's cutdown day around the NFL. The Commanders and 31 other teams are whittling rosters upwards of 90 players down to 53. I'll tell you what, I miss being on the beat quite a bit, fairly frequently. There were a lot of things I liked about covering the team. Just being on the inside, information, getting to know coaches and learning ball from different perspectives, having relationships at the building. Very, very cool experience that I got to have for a while. This was the worst day.
This is a tough one, yeah.
When you're on the beat, I don't envy guys like Ben Standig or reporters like Nikki Javala who look like they're grinding and working their way through cutdown day. But you're texting players or their agents or, you know, folks with the team and sometimes asking people directly, hey, did the worst thing that could have possibly happened to you happen today?
Were your professional dreams crushed today? Text me back.
And, you know, someone can make light of, that it's a business, or they could say, well, they shouldn't be doing that, and you're wrong. That's the job, and people want the information, and you're trying to cover the football team.
I mean, you're doing what you're supposed to do, but, man, that is, on a human level, that's tough.
Today was the worst. It was just, at the end of the day, like, I've never been a guy that's like, oh, I need a beer. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you need to, I needed to go to a movie. Like, I needed to unplug. and just for a couple hours, not think about anything and just go kind of chill out in the dark and have no one talk to me with a movie playing. But thinking about the players, their families that are getting the bad news today, hopefully many of them do come back on the practice squad. But with that out of the way, some of the latest cuts by the Commanders that are interesting and names that you got to know and maybe got enamored with like I did during the preseason, Danny. Wide receiver Bryson Tremaine, I like him. I think he is a big, tall, 6'4 wide receiver who can help down the field. He made one catch after another in training camp, just vertically over people, contested, has decent speed. He kind of, I talked to him at camp, and he basically said, since I was at Stanford, I think I've been able to run by people because they look at me with my size, and they're like, oh, this guy's not going to be able to outrun me. And then he gets behind everyone and makes a big catch, and he did it all camp long. Preseason just didn't quite go well enough. Another guy I really, really liked was Michael Wiley, and I'm quite sure he'll stay in the building. The Arizona running back, who was undrafted out of the Pac-12, he got released today as well. I guess there's a question as to whether or not they keep three running backs. I'd imagine they'll keep Jeremy McNichols, but if you kept two and Kaz Allen was still around.
Yeah, then it's sort of, you know, he's half a running back, half a wide out, a little bit of everything.
You could also only keep two running backs now, because even though you wouldn't go into a game on Sunday in week one that way, maybe it gives you a chance to keep a safety you don't want to cut and have on the waiver wire, and then you'll sort out running back when someone else gets released, or maybe in the next 3 days or something. Like, remember that, too. The roster they formed today can be as much strategic as anything. It doesn't mean it's what it's going to look like in week one. In fact, it's almost certainly not going to look that way.
Yeah, this is the initial 53, not the final 53. If there is such a thing. Obviously, as rosters form and injuries happen and changes happen and releases happen and everything else. But yeah, your initial homework or your first quiz, whatever you want to call it, is due this afternoon. And there'll be changes after that, right? As waivers and other things. And you may, as you said, you may not want to expose a guy to waivers right away, knowing that he might get snatched up and maybe you want to stash him or something to that effect. And maybe you can do some machinations therein.
Last year's sixth round pick, Chris Rodriguez, running back out of Kentucky, has been waived by the Commanders. So too is fifth round pick out of Clemson, KJ Henry. According to multiple reports, he got bad news today, which is good news for Jamin Davis. And it would stand to reason that if KJ Henry, who a lot of people had as their fourth defensive end, didn't make the team, then all systems are go for Jamin Davis, who will not only make it as an end, but who knows? With the injury to Jordan McGee, he could end up being depth at linebacker still as well.
Indeed, yeah. That the dreaded position flex from the Ron Rivera era would certainly apply to Jamin Davis. As he learns a new spot, you can plug him in as needed on the rare occasion they're in a three linebacker set.
No surprise that Sam Hartman got waived. As good looking as he is and as productive at times as he was in game, first preseason game, he got to play and he looked pretty good. That was the fourth quarterback at camp. McSorley is really the fifth guy, so practice squad would be an option, I would imagine, if they want to keep a project and Hartman around. Because if they were going to keep three QBs, it was going to be the veterans, probably.
Yep.
You could have gone with a kid in Hartman over Driscoll, but Driscoll showed enough, I think. I mean, they have a type pretty obviously. Look at the quarterbacks right now in the building. It's Jaden Daniels, who can run, Jeff Driscoll, who can run, Marcus Mariota, who can run, and Trace McSorley, who can run.
To a degree,
The only guy that isn't that is
Hartman.
Sam Hartman. Mitch Tinsley helped himself in the final preseason game, I thought. He got cut today, despite having been heavily featured. And speaking of wide receivers on the outs, Martavis Bryant. A lot of question as to whether or not the big 6'4" wide receiver, one-time standout with the Steelers, could force his way onto the roster. That did not happen. He will not be part of the initial 53.
So as you're looking at this, on its surface, barring another move that we don't know about, aka bringing in somebody in that's outside the organization, you would think it's good news for a couple guys like Jamison Crowder. It's good news for Byron Pringle, for example. Just think of the receiver spot. You already mentioned Jamin Davis. So on its surface, those guys, the longer their names aren't called, the better it is for them.
I wanted to get to Josh Harris's press conference from Sunday quickly. We talked quite a bit about this yesterday, but one thing we didn't get to was, what was the biggest development, do you think, out of everything that he addressed? Because that was as candid and just legitimate a Q&A with an owner as we've had in this market in decades, quite literally. And for 23 minutes, he sat there and he took questions from all comers and he answered them. And I thought he actually gave real context and perspective on some of the things they're doing and why they're doing them. And so with that in mind, I thought we could go through just some of the cliff notes of his press conference, and I want to know what the lead would be if you're writing a story about it. Here are some of the rapid fire, like, big moments.
Uh-huh.
New stadium in 2030 is the realistic date. He says he's still talking to all three jurisdictions. Nothing's been decided. It did sound like D.C. was the priority. I'm paraphrasing. That was certainly what most of the questions were about. He is himself leading the search for the next team president. It's one of his top priorities right now. He can't go back to Redskins, and they won't go back to Redskins as a name for obvious reasons, he said. But he did not commit to Commanders long term, and they are looking into the popularity of the name, and they're doing their own research right now. The NFL draft is coming to D.C. at some point, probably a few years down the road. He admitted that he focuses heavily on the Commanders and the 76ers and is way less involved when it comes to the Devils and his other sports ownership, including soccer. He said that he expects the team to be better in a win-loss record than last year, but he did admit that this is really for him about the long-term focus and that I'm now, again, paraphrasing, wins and losses this year are not nearly as important to him as kind of building the foundation with this group long term. Also acknowledged season tickets are up big, 30% year over year from last year, and that they want to bridge the gap and make sure the old fans are happy. That's why they're bringing back gold pants. He also said he wanted to get rid of the Sean Taylor installation.
Yeah, that was the last one, yeah.
Because Taylor deserves an A-plus tribute, and that it's important to both their relationship with players past and current, and just the fan base that it means so much to do that in a better way. So of all that stuff, what was your lead from Harris?
I think it was all sort of name-related to me. With honorable mention to, as you said, the Sean Taylor installation being removed and then, you know, trying to do better than that, the 2030 date, et cetera. It's that we're not ignoring this, right? Because in the past, what members of the ownership group have said is, it's not our priority right now, and they sort of dismissed it. It implied then that it's your priority at some point. It implied then that you're thinking about it. But he said, he revealed to your question, we are doing research about it. I am aware of it. And in effect, again, I'm not, what I am doing is paraphrasing. I care about the old one. I know the old one's not coming back. That's not possible. But I care about the tradition. I care about, the fans that have been here for a long time. We're aware that the current name hasn't stuck, isn't sticking. Maybe that changes with a bunch of winning football, but I care about the tradition. Here's your placating. Here's your small pat. Here's your olive branch in the gold pants. We know that doesn't cover all of it, but we're thinking about that. That, to me, was as clear a sign as any, is if they're not winning within the next couple of years, which is entirely possible, it's really hard to win in this league, that might be very much on the table to say, you know what, we can address this now.
Totally agree with that. The only thing I would say is there's still a reading between the lines and kind of a seeing whatever we want to see there. If it's your opinion that they shouldn't change the name and they won't, I think you could probably read through what he said and talk yourself into there's a path to it not changing. Most of us don't see it that way. We're looking through different glasses, and I think it's very easy to see something will come down the pike. It's just not happening right now. But because there's really no shaping his answer on your own, there's no guesswork to 2030 is when the stadium is going to open at the earliest, and that's his words out of his mouth now.
Mm-hmm.
That's reasonable to hope for a stadium in 2030, 6 years away.
6 years.
I thought that was maybe the biggest thing that came up and that he corroborated or confirmed. The newsiest thing might be that I now fully expect a draft in Washington, D.C. to be held on the Mall in the next 5 years or so. And maybe it's closer to 3, 4, 5 years away than a couple, but I now absolutely think that that is in the works, that they have a lot to iron
with
out
you.
With the Park Service, but it sounds like that's something he and his group are going to work really hard on, and they obviously think it could be happening. All right, next on Grant and Danny. Juan Soto back to D.C.?
Question mark?
That's what they were saying in the newspaper, right? Juan Soto, Washington, D.C., 2.0. Let's get into that, and our double play involves news on our Grant and Danny Fantasy Football Listener League. So if you want to get in, you better be listening. By the way, we got tickets to see Kevin Hart in 20 minutes right here on Grant and Danny. Double play coming up on G&D in just a couple of moments. Welcome back. We're Grant and Danny, and this is The Fan. I'm sure you saw Barry Sforluga's piece in the Washington Post yesterday about Juan Soto and the Nationals. written, of course, the timeliness was that Soto was back at the yard. Mm-hmm. He was taking on the Nats with the Yankees. A very rare 0-for-4 yesterday for Juan Soto, but a lovely ovation. He got the biggest ovation of the night.
Yeah.
Sorry about your luck, Dylan Cruz. We're giving out Cruz t-shirts at Nats Park, but it was Soto who was taking off his helmet and doing a little curtain call moment before he got into the batter's box.
He drilled a couple balls. The ball, by the way, was not traveling to left center or center last night. There were a couple bolts that stayed in the yard. Soto hit a couple of them.
Well, partially because 10-foot-tall Aaron Judge caught them at the fence with his glove over the wall.
Well, that did happen. Ball was flying just fine to right, though, as we saw later on in the game. But, yeah, the things, a couple balls went to die in left center and center. But, yeah, I thought that was that first inning was really cool. Like, that to me was the whole deal. It was like this ceremony, right, where the symmetry between Soto hitting second for New York and Cruz hitting second for Washington, old era, new era, the ovations therein, that was cool. Just really neat.
Davey knew the assignment.
Yes.
Abrams, Cruz, Wood, 1-2-3 in the lineup. Awesome. Well done, Davey. So that was very, very cool. I bring this up, though, because Juan Soto's return to D.C., he'd been back with the Padres, but first time, long time, now with the Yankees. It was a very, very cool pregame scene. He was the first guy out on the field at about 3:05 while we were doing our show live from either team. And he came over and kind of parked in front of the Nats dugout in the coach's box, first base foul territory, and just waited like with a receiving line, basically, one after another of people parade style coming up to Juan Soto, and he was talking to staffers and training people and, you know, former players and coaches and anyone and everyone who was still with the organization. Big smiles and hugs. And I posted a video. If you guys haven't seen, you should go check it out at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. And I think you have a picture of this maybe even as well. But it was Mark Lerner and Juan Soto embracing. And I thought it was hysterical that Lerner in front of the media and everyone just walked right up and
just strutted right up there.
Gave him a big hug. That's one of those, I got a lot of money and I don't care what you think kind of things. But here's why it's funny to me. I understand they have a relationship, they have a rapport, whatever. But there's so much noise being made about Soto becoming a free agent and would the Lerners possibly pay him and could they bring him back to D.C.? And so I'm thinking when Mark was out there, I'm like, oh, there's no chance we'll get an interaction here. And as soon as Juan Soto was done talking to someone at one point, Lerner starts yelling, Soto, Juan, and he starts walking over to him. And they meet and they get this big hug and a nice little conversation for a minute or so, just in front of everyone. It was incredible. And the jokes wrote themselves. I think I tweeted something like, clearly reminiscing about 2019. And everyone's like, talk to him about coming back, which is obviously not legal.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to do as an owner when he's under contract with the Yankees, but it's also not happening.
Right. Oh, yeah. They also weren't like negotiating right there. Mark's like 500 and Juan's like, nope, 600. Okay. I'll see you there.
The next step in the Nationals rebuild, bring back Juan Soto. That was the headline of the Berries for Luga column in the Post yesterday. Dylan Cruz made his debut against Juan Soto on Monday night. In 2025, they should be teammates. That was Berry's piece. And while I'd love to see it, and I echo the sentiments, and it's a really brilliant idea, I give it 0.0001% chance of happening. This ownership group over the last few years has not even shown a willingness to sign a veteran starting pitcher for $10 million a year. And I'm supposed to assume they're going to go pay $500 million to break every record for a non-pitcher hitter in free agency. On Juan Soto, I just can't see it. I'm sorry. You know, all the stories that we hear about, like, counting cups and getting the napkins that are the least expensive and all the little things that are happening at that ballpark, I do not think they'll be a player with the Yankees and the Mets for Soto. I'm sorry. I just don't see it.
I don't see it either. And, you know, there's also a legitimate reason one could make, or an argument one could make to not do that, where you have that much salary allocated to one person. Would you be better served spunking around between 5, 6, 7 other people for a team-building perspective? But the real argument against it, or not in terms of desiring it, but basically saying why it's not going to happen, is what you just said. There has been no propensity to open that checkbook at any point here in the recent past. Maybe that's different now that you've got a younger team that's on the verge of competing,
I think that's
but it wouldn't be to the tune of $600 million.
I think that's the hope or the thought, is that they're going to spend this offseason for the first time in a long time, really since the World Series. And I do think they'll spend a good bit. Like, they got more money coming off the books this
Corbin
year.
Corbin coming off the books.
Strasburg is now at least a known commodity, that he's not taking up a 40-man spot, and you can pay that off if you need to. But yeah, the Corbin contract specifically, it's going to be the lowest payroll they've had really at any point since they took over. They could go get a bat like Anthony Santander and Wright. They could get a bat like Christian Walker at first base and go get a pitcher if they want to in the middle of the rotation. I just don't think it's going to be a Soto-type move.
No.
That type of contract. It is time for our double play, driven to you by your local Washington-area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. You can contact your local Washington-area Honda dealers today. And I will bring in producer Darius Dameron, who is the bad guy in the Grant and Danny Fantasy League quandary. That is, everybody wanting to get in. So I said, I don't want to be involved this year. I get yelled at by too many people.
That is true.
Darius, you're going to be the villain. You will be the messenger that gets shot at with the slings and the arrows.
Make way for the bad guy.
I appreciate, first of all, you being the bad guy. Second of all, let's find out how we're going to dictate who's in the Grant and Danny listener league.
I'd like to for it to not be known as the bad guy.
Bad guy.
Just, I'm just the commissioner. There we go. That's fine.
Which is
also
well-liked.
A bad guy. It's fine.
I remember that Roger Goodell gets cheered everywhere he goes. People just love when they see Rob Manfred.
Yeah, Gary Bettman's entrance is actually a chorus of boos, but that's cheering.
I'm more like Adam Silver.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't get
the
that
cool
often.
Commissioner.
Yeah, cool guy.
Yeah, let's do an in-season fantasy tournament. Yeah. Let's paint our courts in a weird way for fantasy football.
City jerseys.
Cool guy.
The ever popular Grant and Danny Fantasy League is officially returning.
Yeah.
It is officially returning.
That's
yes.
Big. Where's my bell? Hold on.
This is the fantasy comeback bell? Whoa.
We're back, baby.
That's the bigger bell.
2024. How many teams in the league?
There will be, this is a 14-team league.
Let's go.
We are inviting back the winner from last year.
Congratulations, winner.
Congratulations.
I think his name is John.
Yeah, yeah. So he'll be back with us, and then there will be 10 spots open for listeners. So for you to get your chance to get into the Grant and Danny Fantasy Football League, as you hear the bell go off, you will need to do, as last year, participate in our Grant and Danny show trivia challenge.
Oh,
you,
the trivia challenge.
The trivia challenge is dreaded. Yeah.
You can find that link on our Facebook page. We'll also tweet it out from our individual Twitter accounts. So, yes, you will click that link. You will take the challenge. There's 10 questions on it, as well as a bonus question that gives you a chance to get more points. At the end of the week, me and Ryan will tally up all the scores, and the top 10 scorers will get invites to join us for a live draft for the Grant and Danny Fantasy Football League next week. We anticipate that live draft will be at a D.C. or Virginia area bar or sports bar venue. Next Tuesday or Wednesday night. So
we'll
plan
have the details at the end of the week.
We'll have details for you.
Whoever makes the league, but you got to try to be at the draft so you can clear out the schedule Tuesday or Wednesday night for an on-site draft. And we're going to try to do like the stickers on the paper this year, I think, Darius, instead of doing the internet and everyone sitting on a laptop. We're going to do an old school fantasy draft, kick it like it was 10 years ago, put the stickers up on the board, right? It's going to be like 2020-10 style.
That is the plan. It's going to be a blast. It's always fun. We had a great time last year. This is my third year doing it now, I guess, since I've been a part of the show. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's always fun.
Very, very cool.
That is awesome. I'm very into this. The live draft is always the best, and I like it better that we're going to actually be able to do it without staring at our laptops. You know, because like you'd be mid-conversation with somebody, like, dude, shut up. I'm 2 picks away. You know, like, get your wing hands off me.
I love it. Yeah, there's going to be wings, and there will be wing hands.
There'll be wings.
So, in the next couple of minutes, you can check out at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. Or right now, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Grant and Danny for the link to take the quiz. It's trivia on the show. The folks with the 10 highest scores will be invited into the Grant and Danny Fantasy Football League. So best of luck to everyone. All the details will be available as your grades come back in. If you score high enough as to how you can participate in the draft. Excited about that. We got tickets to see Kevin Hart in D.C. in September. We're giving those away right at the top of the hour. We've also got a Beltway Blitz coming your way next on the Nats, the NFL, and the Commanders. You're listening to The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled,
and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.